Good morning. Thank you, Dan. Wow, that was fantastic. You know how events sometimes bring back good memories? Well, that jock brought back the Malagash days 30 years ago when we just about tore the roof off the shingles of that little chapel while you were leading the music in some of those conferences. And there's nothing like hearing some great, great music. All right. Just say thanks for just a quick little update on Dad there. He's in South Shore Villa, so if your car is naturally going that way, then stop in for a visit. I don't think you need an appointment or anything. And he's got there on Tuesday, and so he's doing fine. And I don't think that's on the top of any of our lists to be there, but you know what? He's doing okay, and we're thankful for all the care, the visits, the prayers. And we are just grateful for your love for our family. Mom's doing okay, too. It's a big change, not having Dad underfoot to talk to. We'll put it that way. All right. Let's just open our meeting in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can repeat those words. We know whom we have believed. And Father, if there is anyone here this morning who cannot say those words, our prayer would be today before they walk out of this building that they would also be able to say they know whom they have believed. So Father, help us this morning. There's nothing we can do without your help. Without you, we can do nothing. We're thankful for your word, and we pray for your help as we open it up in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Dan has already mentioned, the topic this morning is the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at two aspects this morning. We want to spend some little bit of time on theology, okay? And we're going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. And then, in order to have two P's, we've substituted work for the performance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, okay? The person of the Holy Spirit and the performance of the Holy Spirit. Now, just to get started, we have this little pretzel up here for us, okay? Now, Chuck Swindoll in his book, Flying Closer to the Flame, if you want to have a really good extensive study on the Holy Spirit, you get that book, Flying Closer to the Flame. He tells the story in Sunday school of Miss Thompson. And Miss Thompson was given the task of trying to help those young children, they're just little ones, to explain to them the Trinity. So she got a pretzel, and she said, okay, so the Trinity is one God in three persons. So we have each hole represents God. God the Father in one hole, and she'd point to it. God the Son in the other one, and God the Holy Spirit. So anyway, after she had got the children to repeat each one, she said to little Johnny, it always seems to be little Johnny, right? I mean, she said to little Johnny, Johnny, could you please repeat what I just said? He said, well, Miss Thompson, it's God the Father, Jesus, he said, that's good, yeah, and the Holy Smoke. And, you know, when we come to this topic of the Holy Spirit, right, it gets kind of, we have a hard time, right, envisioning that third person in the Trinity, God the Father. Well, we have our fathers, right? And God the Son. But then God the Holy Smoke, as little Johnny said. God the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we're kind of vague. We're a little uncomfortable sometimes. We see how some groups maybe overemphasize the third person of the Trinity, and we kind of shy away from that. Well, first of all, I just wanted to touch on some verses in the Bible about the Trinity, okay? And here's one right from the book of Genesis. Isn't it amazing? In Genesis 1, that God would establish his truth of the Trinity. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. It's just that first part. Let us, he could have said, let me make man in my likeness after my, in my image after my likeness. He said, are. We have plurality in the Trinity. Then we skip quite fast forward to Matthew 3 and the baptism of Christ. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God. So we have Jesus, Then we have the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." All three persons of the Trinity. Sometimes we talk about the Holy Spirit like an it sometimes, don't we? But the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, okay? Distinct person in the Trinity. Then we go to Luke 2:32. Says the Holy Spirit descended on him, Jesus, in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Then we went to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We did a number of studies in John 14 already on Wednesday nights. And here we have, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said unto you." Again, John 15, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." And there's a couple of others I have here. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And then we will just skip here to Ephesians 2:18. "For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father." So the Word of God supports the Trinity. Quite simply, quite easily, there's a number of references, even others where it is alluded to, where there is the person of the Trinity. So now, what is this study? You know, there's some big words in theology. They teach these at Bible school, you know, all the time. Well, the study of the Holy Spirit is called pneumatology. Pneumatology. And it simply means, pneumo means breath, right? Oxford says this is a branch of Christian theology that is concerned with the Holy Spirit. So first of all, we want to look at the person of the Holy Spirit. J. Wallace Warner, in his excellent apologetic books, says that the Holy Spirit is a distinct person within the triune Godhead. He is a distinct person within the triune Godhead. He is distinct from the Father and the Son. Each one has their distinct ministries. And the Holy Spirit, like the other two members of the Godhead, possesses all the attributes of being a person. And he possesses all the attributes of deity. Okay? All the attributes of deity. See, sometimes the Holy Spirit is made out to be like an energy force almost, right? But he is a person. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, he lives in you and desires to work through you and use you. He is God. So then So I'm just going to read this little quote here by Wallace Warner. "Just as the Son voluntarily chose to take the role of the suffering servant as to redeem God's people, so too the Spirit has chosen to take the role of sanctifier and advocate of the people of God. But since it is the Spirit's role to direct the hearts of men to Christ and to conform them to his image, he does not seek to push himself into the forefront and gain attention to himself." Unfortunately, we have a number of focus today, oftentimes on television and in various ministries, where the push is to emphasize the person of the Holy Spirit and put him to the forefront. But the work of the Spirit of God is to reveal Christ to men and women. He does not seek to push himself into the forefront and gain attention for himself. This is a difference in function, but this does not indicate any inferiority of nature. So we want to look at, what is it that the Holy Spirit does? Now, we're only going to touch on a few things here, folks, this morning. Just in a half an hour. But first of all, regeneration. That's a big word, isn't it? Regeneration. It says in Titus 3 and verse 5, that he, God, has saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The word regeneration in the Greek is palingenesia. Now, those two words broken down are very simple. Palin means again. Genesis means birth, right? What's the first book in the Bible? Genesis, the birth of the world. So regeneration is broken down in the Greek to mean again birth. Now, who spoke of that in John 3? Well, there was that story of Nicodemus, wasn't it? And what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? You must be born again. And Nicodemus like, well, I was born once. How do I get this full-grown body back into my mother's womb and redo that all over again? Jesus wasn't talking about a physical rebirth, was he? He was talking about a spiritual rebirth. And this is what this verse is talking about here, that one of the works of the Holy Spirit of God is to regenerate us into the body of Christ. We sang that last song, and it says, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin. I don't necessarily can explain that, but he does. And this morning the question is, have you been born again? You know, we sing that little happy birthday song, don't we? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And we get into that second part when we're singing it for Christians, right? Only one will not do. Only one birthday is not going to do, is it? Born again means salvation. How many have you? It's that second one that really counts, isn't it? That's the one that really counts. And this work of the Holy Spirit is a work of regeneration. And you know, we're kind of living today in this kind of a bit of an emphasis toward the direction of certain, you could say, Calvinistic tendencies in our teaching sometimes that were being pressured in our culture. And you know, people will somehow believe that you have to be regenerated before you can be saved. Okay? But you know what? God has given each of us the capacity and ability to respond to the message of the gospel. Yes, we are dead in trespasses and sin. Yes, we are separated from him. Yes, we desperately need to be right with God. But regeneration, my friends, is not a separate process from salvation. It happens the moment you place your faith and trust in Christ. That is when regeneration happens. It is not a two-step process, but happens when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. So we have regeneration. The next thing we have is sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is such an incredible little truth here. You know, there's lots of people struggle with assurance of salvation. And we have some other great verses to help us with those. I think this is one of the greatest verses on assurance of salvation. It says here in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, in whom you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. So again, this is all happening at the same time, folks, okay? You believed in him. You were sealed with the promised Spirit. I think the King James says the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. A seal. That has been something that's been around for centuries and ages. And that seal would be taken, and it would be, sometimes it was a wax seal. You'll see a scroll, right? And then they stick a seal on it. And it's interesting, isn't it, that seal was on those scrolls in Revelation, and there was no one they could find to break that seal until the Lamb of God was the one who could break that seal. And so the seal is a guarantee of security, okay? They take my business seal and they stick it in that business mortgage and they go, right? And it seals on top of that business mortgage and that says, you, my friend, have guaranteed your name to pay what you owe. And you know, the Holy Spirit is God's seal on his people. Wow. It is his claim on us that we are his. That word there, what a great word, guarantee. Now, if we use that in kind of a loose sense of maybe, say, a car, right? And you get a car and you get a brand new car and there's a guarantee on that car. Well, the guarantee is only as good as the company backing it, isn't it? And some companies back their guarantee better than others, don't they? Some of them stand in there and they stick with it, and you know that they are going to stand back for that guarantee that they have given. And there's others that just kind of like, no, that's your problem. Well, see, there's no greater guarantee that we can have of a future in heaven with Christ, if you have placed your faith and trust in him. There is no greater guarantee, because the one who has guaranteed it is God himself, right? And so the thing is, I'm not holding on to Christ to get to heaven. He has sealed me with his Holy Spirit, and he is going to keep me all the way there. Because, you know, along the way, what happens is we quench the Holy Spirit, don't we? Because it says in God's word, don't quench the Spirit of God. It says that we grieve the Spirit of God. We sin, don't we? We mess up on a daily basis. We have thoughts that aren't pleasing to him. We do actions that aren't pleasing to him. We, at times, are distant from him. But the great part is that we are sealed, my friend. Our conduct does not change our position. These here truths about the work of the Spirit of God are so crucial to your position in Christ. And young person, if you want to have a stable, emotional, and mental healthy life and spiritual life, you need to grip onto these positional truths of God's word. You are not left to your own devices. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Guaranteed, it says. This is, he is the guarantee of our inheritance. We have what? An inheritance that is what? Incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. And guess what? We are not going to lose that inheritance, right? Thank you. We are not going to lose that inheritance. And you know what? No wonder Paul at the end of this says, just as a little sideline, he just stops and he says, to the praise of his glory. Incredible, right? Think about it. What a gift that we've been given. There's a nice little site that answers questions online. I don't know their theological background, but the few things I've read are pretty good. It's called gotquestions.com. Sometimes you put stuff in, it'll pop up. And it says this: it is because the Spirit of God has sealed us that we are assured of our salvation. No one can break the seal of God. So we're going to actually look up a couple verses in your Bible there. I put a lot of stuff up on overhead because we're kind of moving and shifting around quite a bit. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 22. Now, I want to read another verse here for you that I thought was really applicable. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. And this is what this says: the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. Isn't that neat? Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And then another verse I really like in Romans 8 and verse 16, it says, the Spirit of God, the Spirit bears witness with my spirit. Now, do I understand that? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Wow. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 22. Guess I should look it up too. We'll start in verse 21. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us. So here's even God putting his seal on us. And what has he done? He has given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. What a lovely verse, isn't it? A wonderful verse. He has put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And this is an interesting little verse here. And it's talking about us staying right with God. And he says here in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, stop there. We do sometimes, don't we? We're challenged here not to, but there are times we do grieve him. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He has got you well taken care of. You are sealed until the day of redemption. The next one, baptized. So we know the word baptized means fully immersed, right? Dip under, submerged. But really, and we could go to Romans 6, we would read those verses in Romans 6 where we are baptized into Christ. Well, it means to be identified and in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? This happens at the very moment of new birth, doesn't it? This is when it happens. You are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit of God when you are saved. Now, there is a whole group of people, and it is so hard for the, like, it has got to be such a challenge for people who are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because you cannot seek something that you already have. If you have a personal relationship with Christ, you have already been baptized into the body of Christ, you already have that. It is a done deal, my friend. You do not have to seek for something that you already have. You know, it's a terrible thing to go looking for money when you already got $1,000 in your account, isn't it? It's kind of sad, isn't it? You walk around broke and say, I have no money, I can't even go to the grocery store, I can't get anything. And it's like, well, did you check your account? Well, no, I didn't check my account. Well, you should check your account. So it says here, let's read this verse. So just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So in one spirit, you were, oh, just the super, it says, it say here, in one spirit, just the super spiritual were baptized into one body. Is that what that says there? It does not say that there, does it? It says there that in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. I'm going to read a quote here. The baptism of the Holy Spirit may be defined as that work. It is that work whereby the Spirit of God places the believer into union with Christ and into union with other believers in the body of Christ at the moment of salvation. This is not a special experience for the select few that have somehow kind of worked themselves up somehow and come up with some extra special blessing that they feel that is available just to those who have a certain measure of faith. When you enter into the new birth, you enter into the fact that the Holy Spirit of God has baptized you into the body of Christ, and it is done once for all. That's great news, by the way. It's Great news. And that is your position, my friend, in Christ. John Piper put it this way. He said, to be moved upon by the Holy Spirit in such a way that we are brought to faith and united to Jesus. I like that. So we've had the first three we've talked about already. The Spirit of God regenerates us in salvation. He seals us. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. And then, you know, the other cool thing he does, he disperses spiritual gifts. And John and I were just kind of talking about this in between meetings. You know, when you're born, right, we get certain natural abilities and talents, right? Some people are given to be handy with their hands. Some people are good with their studying and thinking. Some people, you know, are good with other people, and they're in different, everybody has these different various talents, and even within the talent, there is strengths and weakness even within those talents, okay? God gives us talents when we are born. He created us, right? If you want to go to Psalm 139, he made us in our mother's womb, and he created us. But then, when we're born again, and we have this brand new spiritual man, guess what? We get another whole ream of gifts. He gives us a spiritual gifts so that we can offer them back to him and serve him and enhance the body of Christ and become more like him. So it says here, I love the verse in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. It says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all the gifts. And they're distributed sovereignly. Whoa. Like, I can't go over to a box, right? After I get saved, I can't get over and say, oh, there's an aisle there. And I like this gift and I like that gift because I think those would suit me. It doesn't work that way, right? A lot of times he gives us gifts that are totally contradictory to our natural talents. And sometimes he gives us gifts that are complementary to our natural talents, right? But he alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, here's what's interesting, folks. Nowhere in God's word are we told to pursue any of these things, are we? These four things that are up on the board. Now, some people will teach that some of those things have to be pursued. But these things all happen to us when we get saved. Okay? This is our position in Christ. Whether you've been saved a day, whether you've been saved for 65 years. That is your position in Christ. However, in closing, there's one command that's given, and there's other ones as well, that we're going to focus on. And this is where we are commanded to do something. It says in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's a change. That's a shift, isn't it? That assumes that I, as a Christian, can go on for hours, days, months, maybe even years, and not be filled with the Spirit. So the word there, there's just three little P's here I thought about that might help. This is very personal. Everybody has different gifts and different capacities. And the filling of the Holy Spirit is very personal. He fills to the individual capacity of each individual, right? Secondly, in the Greek, that word be filled means keep being filled. You know, in God's word, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So what do you do to walk? Well, if I'm going to get from here to there, I got to take one step, then I take another step, and I take another step. And I'm depending on each step to get me to that end goal. And so being filled with the Spirit is a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, dependence on Him, isn't it, in our lives? We just can't say, oh, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit today and it's going to be a great day. No, because you could bump into somebody 3 hours later that really might irritate your spirit big time, and you may no longer be filled with the Spirit. Maybe a different spirit, right? And then, but the challenge is for us, if we're walking and you get out of step, you get out of line, what do? You stop and you bring yourself back in line, don't you? To that where you're heading. So if we get out of line spiritually, what do we got to do? We got to stop. And it says in God's word, what? If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is a walk. It is a continual act. Swindoll says it's a continual appropriation, walking in the Spirit, step by step, moment by moment. And you know, we're talking about the person of Christ working in our lives. This is also personal, it's present, and this work that He does in our lives is powerful. You know what? He is in the business of transforming us, right? That is what He is in the business of doing. When you read the gospel message, it's like we were far from God. Now we are brought near. We were living this life of sin and debauchery and awfulness, and now He has changed us and transformed us, and that continues on, right? There's that positional change where I am perfect in Christ, but then there is that ongoing sanctification that we need that dependence on the Spirit of God to continue to transform us moment by moment and day by day. You know, there's trials in life that arise, and we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. There are temptations that come along in life, aren't there? And in order to deal with those temptations, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. There are ministry opportunities that we get where we can use our gifts for God. And we need to be what? Filled with the Spirit of God. Whether that's a one-on-one counseling opportunity with somebody, whether that's a platform ministry, whether that's down in the Sunday school, camp ministry, whatever it is. If you're going to go out and testify and evangelize and share with your neighbor or preach the gospel, what do you need? You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. This needs to be a continual in the forefront of our day, every day of our lives, until we get home to heaven and we get that inheritance that we've been guaranteed of, right? So just in closing, this is a great verse out of 1 Corinthians 6:19, and I just put it up here from the Living Bible. I thought it just had a couple of nice touches to it. It says, haven't you yet learned? Now, Paul's kind of saying, have you guys not got this? Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home? We're used to the word temple, but I thought home. What a nice touch. Your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you, and that He lives within you. Your own body does not belong to you. It's quite a verse, isn't it? That should transform how we live our lives. What we say, where we go, how we conduct ourselves, what our attitude is. Because this body is a home. Now, what kind of home? What kind of home? When you think of home, you think of an atmosphere, right? You create an atmosphere in a home. And that's the tone that's set. Well, I wonder what kind of home we're allowing the Spirit of God to create in our lives, right? Because is it the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, temperance, goodness, self-control? Is that the home that we're allowing him to create in us? It's supposed to be, isn't it? This third person of the Trinity indwells us, my friend. If you know him as Lord and Savior, he dwells in us. And all that we would wake up every morning, right, and just pause for a moment and just think that this home, this body is a home of the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray, then we're going to close with 532 in our hymn book, Take My Life and Let It Be. Father in heaven, we're just thankful for this time we have to quietly think about your desire to work in our lives. Father, we thank you for that you have, that the Holy Spirit regenerates. And Lord, we know that each and every person here this morning needs to be born again. We thank you, Father, that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, baptized into the body of Christ and in union with Christ himself. And Father, the challenge we have is that are we filled today with the Spirit of God? And oh Father, we pray that we would sense, that very sense that our bodies are homes to the very third person of the Trinity. And oh Lord, that you would help us to be dependent on him each and every moment of our lives. We thank you, Father, for the great guarantee and pledge we have that we know for sure. We know whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We give you all the glory and all the praise. To the praise of his glory, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.